We are joined by Michael Irvin from the NFL Network. Michael, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing great. And I heard you, as a wide receiver and as an offensive guy, I heard you really defending the fact that the Super Bowl was still an exciting game to watch, even though there was only one touchdown scored in the game.
I absolutely thought that was an exciting game to watch. Too many, and what I was saying on air is, we have to stop being a milk audience. That means, you know, it was an infant. It's just babies. That's what we feed babies. We got to learn to appreciate every aspect of this great game, all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. That's what adults do. That's a meat audience. We got to stop being a milk audience and be a meat audience and appreciate it all. Can you understand? Those guys were supposed to be innocent bystanders as the offense explodes in this game and go for 30, 40, 50 points. You got guys on defense that said, no way, not on this day, not on my watch. You had defensive coordinators that said, no way, not on this day, not on my watch. And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that coming together and stopping this offense, all these offense, that, and when we had one of the biggest offensive years in NFL history, those guys making that statement, you got to appreciate that. I thought it was a great game.
Mike, I remember watching a show on NFL Network a couple of years ago. You were working with some draft prospect receivers, and you told them, you were lined up wide to the right, you pointed to the inside, you said, you go in there, you go to the hospital. You pointed straight down the field and said, you go down there, you go to Canton. Is your opinion on that changing with one Julian Edelman after his MVP performance, where some people now think he should be a Hall of Fame receiver?
Well, wait a minute now. No. I didn't say this. I said if you go in there too far, you know, the Ray Lewis and all of that, if that ball in thrown on the right time, I said you run into that game, you run into pain, you run into the hospital. You know, but I made a living over the middle of the football field. You know, it's so funny you bring that up because right now as I'm studying, last night, I'm studying all things on courage. And that's exactly what you talk about when you talk about playing in the middle of the football field. It takes courage to play in the middle of the football field. But that was it was well designed. Everything was greatly, was designed great for Julian Edelman to have success. And the Rams could not stop it. I mean, he just played so incredibly great. They weren't able to cover him. You know, and he had the whole middle of the field. Now, let's talk about this Hall of Fame thing, because I just think Julian Edelman, I think it ultimately comes down to making big plays in big games. I don't care what anyone says. For me, that's what it comes down to. And Julian Edelman has done that. You know, he's passed me in the yards, receiving yards in the postseason, passed me second only Jerry Rice. So he's made all the big plays in the big game. But then I turn on the other end, and I look at what's being done to wide receivers in this NFL. Art Monk, when he retired, had to wait 8 years, and he was number one in numbers. He was like number one or number two in every category. Isaac Bruce, right now, when he retired, was number two in yards and number five in receptions, and they still have not put him in. Do I think he's played like a Hall of Famer? Absolutely. But now those voters making that decision is a whole other story, because somehow, some way we have to fix this. I don't know what you call it, this thing they have against putting wide receivers in the Hall of Fame.
And when you look at a Hall of Fame wide receiver, are touchdowns a big part of the equation, or can you get away with being that possession type receiver?
I got away with it. I got away with it. I didn't put up the 100 touchdowns that everybody put up with. This is the argument I have with the millennials now, with these kids now. They're like, well, my God, I caught these men. I caught 100 more passes than you. Yeah, you played 6 more years than me. But then tell me this. What did those damn passes go to? You were playing in the fourth quarter when games don't count, because my passes went to a Super Bowl. Julian Edelman's passes went to a Super Bowl. What are we out here trying to do? Are we out here trying to get receptions or get rings? We are out here trying to get rings. That's the bottom line. And the kid gets you rings, that should say something.
But you also, I mean, your regular season, Michael, really does dwarf Edelman's. I mean, you had twice as many touchdowns. You were a five-time Pro Bowler. You were all pro. I mean, we love Edelman. We all love Edelman in New England. I think it's going to be tough for him. We'll see how he does and how he ends his career the next couple of seasons. But another receiver right, in the game.
I'm with you on it. Yeah. I'm with you on that because of what I just talked about with those voters.
Right.
You know, now, I tell you what. Do this. Give me a quarterback that has a career tantamount to Julian Edelman. I bet he gets a good chance to get in that Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Eli Manning, for example, he's got the two Super Bowls as a quarterback. He probably does get in.
First ballot.
Yeah.
First ballot.
Right.
First ballot.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's how this thing rolls, and it's not right. And somehow, some way, we gotta adjust this and do something about it.
Well, speaking of wide receivers, Brandon Cooks had a couple of opportunities in the game or in the Super Bowl to come up with great catches. And I felt the same way that you did, Mike. I said on Monday, if that's DeAndre Hopkins, if that's Antonio Brown, those are touchdowns. Maybe not both, but I would say at least one of them is a touchdown. I don't know if everybody believed me because I'm just an idiot on the radio. You're a Hall of Fame receiver, and you think that Brandon Cooks probably should have made some of those plays.
How do you know how I feel about that?
I've heard it a little bit. It's made the rounds just a little bit, as you can imagine.
Hey, listen, man. But for real. And you know what? Absolutely. You got to make those plays. And I'm talking about you had a good chance to make both of those plays. You know, Brandon Marshall and I had that discussion on Inside the NFL when he was trying to say, well, DeAndre Hopkins is so okay. And DeAndre Hopkins made the pass. Brandon, you would have made that play. You would have made that play.
Right.
You got to make that play. Even a late throw down the middle of the field, that ball hit your hand. If McCourty didn't hit the ball, he hit your hand. As soon as you grab that ball, you squeeze that ball. You had room to get your feet down, and McCourty's going to hit you, yeah. But you stop thinking about the hit and focus on the ball, that's a touchdown. If he stops thinking about the grab and focus on the catch, that's a touchdown on the Gilmore play. We had an argument, and then they tried to bring up the 94 play, in 94 when Deion Sanders. I said, Deion hooked my arm. I couldn't get my arm up to make the play. But Gilmore touch Brandon Cook's arm. He could have snatched his arm away and made that play. That's the bottom line. You got to make that play. And that's the difference. That's what separates the good from the great. It's making those plays in that moment. That's what separates Cooks from Edelman. He makes those plays in that moment, and those are the things we will remember, and those are the things that get you the gold thing they call the ring.
But also, to your side of the argument, you're talking about Deion Sanders. Like, you're talking about the best cover corner, and he hooked your arm, but Andy's the best cover corner of all time. So I think that also is a point for Michael Irvin there.
Yeah, but that's why they didn't give him that pass in the field.
Right, exactly.
They gave him that old, I don't even want to say Tom Brady rule. I'll go and call it the LeBron James rule. I'll make it easy on you that way. They gave him the LeBron James rule. And even though I had to discuss with them, y'all do know that I set the NFC Championship, AFC Championship game record.
Right.
In that game, you know, catches and yards. Just to let you know. And I already had two of those gold things in my pocket already at the time of that game. So you know, it wasn't like, oh, well, Michael, you didn't make a big play in these games, or I made plenty in those games, and you did, and he has not. That's what I'm saying. And somehow, some way, guys, Belichick knew that. That's why he couldn't stay. He knew that. You got it, man. Listen, man, I don't care what y'all say. If you get a chance, y'all should get on your knees and kiss his toes. All ten of them. And you know what was interesting for me was that seeing how excited he was. And I came on, I said on air earlier this year, if he gets this team to the Super Bowl, if he was the Super Bowl with this team when they were going through the struggles, I said that would be his best job yet. And we had that discussion, and people were talking about, well, what about going undefeated and all this? I said, when you saw the way Bill Belichick acted on the sideline after he won that game, he believes that was his best job. I've never seen him act like that. We won the championship. We won. Dude, you know, 100 of them. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You won 100 of them. He was so excited, man. It really was. It brought a smile to my face to see him just sit back and say how happy he was, because he knew the struggle was real this year, and he still got it done.
Michael, at some point here, we're going to turn the page to next year and the attempt to go to a fourth straight Super Bowl and win it back-to-back. And there seem to be a lot of players that might be considering retirement, whether it's the McCourty brothers or Rob Gronkowski and the turnover. As a teammate, do you ever consider trying to talk a guy, if you're Tom Brady, talk Gronk into coming back? Or if you're Daron Harmon or Stephon Gilmore, talk McCourty into coming back? Or do people allow other individuals to make business and personal decisions?
You usually try to stay away from that because it's a difficult thing, you know, to make somebody buy in, because it's so hard. This league is so hard to play in. So you usually try to stay away from that. But when you get these unique talents like Gronk, then things changes. Things change. You know, you hear people talking people into coming back for one more year. Gronk's a unique talent. I mean, 80% of Gronk is better than 100% of most people. It's just what it is. And here's the same argument, the same discussion I had about the Cowboys when they let Dez Bryant go. It is certainly pliable and applicable here. When you start talking about, well, Dez Bryant, they're not the number one guy anymore. There are two ways we determine number ones. It's not just what kind of yards and catches and touchdowns he put up. It's also knowing the kind of focus defenses must give you. Defenses must give Gronk that focus, because you don't know when Gronk's feeling good. And when he's feeling good, he can kill you. He can hurt you. He can damage you. So you got to spend time and say, we're going to focus on this fella. That means I got a number one understanding of what defenses are trying to stop, which also helps my offense. It's not just about him getting 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns. It's also giving me a focal point from the defensive standpoint. That's a unique kind of talent. You usually stay away from that, but in Gronk's case, I would make that exception.
Michael, you heard anything further about why Todd Gurley wasn't used in the playoffs all that much?
I still think there's something more going on outside of him being injured, as people have been talking about. I said it after the Cowboys game, you know, and people want to believe this narrative. Well, you know, as long as we win, it doesn't matter. Are you joking? Mm-hmm. Are you joking? After the Cowboys game, he instigated to rush 400 yards. But I watched that press conference and I said, oh, I don't know. I don't feel like he feels that he should be happier than that. He just felt odd in that game. And I said it, and everybody kind of batted me down. Michael, no, you're just saying something, but you're starting something because they beat the Cowboys. I said, okay, let's watch the rest of these playoffs and see what happens. And I promise you. I believe that they've had some serious discussions that he was not happy with the amount of carries and the use of C.J. Anderson. I don't care what y'all say. You can say what you want to say. We're all in this business. It's a meritocracy, and we're all in the self-preservation. Every day, they are trying to find somebody to replace you. They got a whole staff of scouts. All 32 teams have staffs of scouts. They got, I don't know how many people in their scouting department, and they're all trying to replace you or trying to find a less expensive version of you. So to say that it doesn't bother you, somebody else comes in and carries your load, that's asinine. It's going to bother you. It's going to bother you, you know. And he was the all-do-everything back. He's not the back by committee. And they made him the back by committee later in the season. And I thought that damaged his mentality in the playoffs.
Michael, thanks so much for joining us all season. Really, it was great. And hopefully we get to do it again next year as well.
Absolutely, guys. I enjoy it. I appreciate you guys, man. And already, and I know with my history I shouldn't use these terms, but I'm having withdrawals from the NFL already. I should use the term withdrawals with my history, but I'm having withdrawals already.
We get it. We
absolutely get it. Michael, thanks so much. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, take it easy.
Get NFL on your knees and kiss his toes.